Good morning and good to see everyone. Some faces that have been gone for a while, and I guess there's others that are gone out to Bible school. There's various youth that left for the Bible school for the week, and we'll miss them today and also next weekend as well. Could we just kneel together to pray before we start? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for being here this morning. We thank you that we could again this morning listen to how you have changed more lives, God. It's such a blessing to listen to testimonies. Such a blessing to hear how you take sin out of people's lives, and in its place you put your Spirit in. You work a deeper work of cleansing. And God, this morning we just ask that you would please continue that work in all of our hearts. Would you continue the work in my heart? I ask, Lord, that you would be with the various ones that are gone, traveling. Ask, Lord, that you'd also be with the missionaries. Lord, you know the various ones serving different places. I ask, Lord, for Josh and Kate as they're gone. I ask, Lord, for Jeriah and Marion. Pray for Ruth. And I ask, God, that you would also call others and place burdens upon hearts. God, you know the needs, and we ask, Lord, that you would call all of us to our respective places where you want us to serve. Lord, just now we ask that you'd come and continue your presence here. I ask that you'd give me clear thoughts and the ability to share. I ask, Lord, that you'd make the burden clear in my heart. I ask, God, that this time that we spend sharing your word and looking into the word of God, that it could be illuminated in our hearts. So please be with us here in Jesus' name. Amen. Embracing real Christianity unashamedly. Embracing real Christianity unashamedly. I think all of us face some of this, maybe more often than what we realize. A bit of timidness, a bit of struggle in our hearts. In various areas where it's something we struggle with. And I'm going to say maybe in years gone by, I've struggled with it more than what I do today because of some of the continued choices and decisions that I've made as life has gone on. And yet I think we all face it. A bit of timidness, and sometimes a bit of drawing back. And I guess there's just simply a number of areas that I'd like to specifically look at. And some of it has to do with our personal walk with God, and some of it has to do with our lifestyle. And as I guess the burden and the heart of what I want to share this morning is to help us somehow become rooted and grounded in God's Word and in what he wants for our life, and embrace it wholeheartedly. It seems like for many of us, we want to fit into our surroundings, both in a personal life. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to stick out. We want to look good. We're supposed to be good Christians. I'd like to just share something that, just a number of weeks ago, we were over in Africa for some time, and their Muslim culture that they have, we were a bit the oddballs. We were a little bit different. And yet, I didn't feel embarrassed or ashamed about that. Here in America, there's a lifestyle all around us that's very different than where we are. And what's interesting to me is that in the middle of this, what I'm going to call a Western culture, there is a growing amount of people, the Muslim people, who are what I'm going to call unashamedly making drastic changes in the middle of society. And I scratch my head at that. Here, about 2 months ago, I was traveling home from Pennsylvania on a turnpike, and we stopped off at a rest area, and we pulled over and we stopped. And I couldn't believe my eyes. Right there, there's all these trucks and cars parked, and right beside one of these big semi-trucks was one of the drivers, and there he was. He had this mat out on the floor beside his truck. And there he was, kneeling down, and he would go flat on the ground. And he'd come up again, his eyes closed, and just on and on, he was praying. And I'm going to say he was doing so with purpose. And I'm going to say that there's some of those things that I see at times that make me, I'm going to say, a bit ashamed of how ashamed I've been. Do you follow that? It makes me a bit ashamed of how ashamed I've been at times. I've been ashamed to really embrace what God really has for my life. In various areas in my walk with God, as well as how it practically works out, I've been ashamed. And you know what the Bible says about being ashamed? If we're ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of us. And some of those things that I see here and there, I'm going to say, put me to shame. And I'm going to say that somehow, I'm not sure how to convey this, but if I could somehow convey some of the things that I want to share this morning, if I could somehow have us come to the place where we see that this is what God really wants in our life and be able to move forward and embrace it with our whole heart, I think our life would be different. But there's a bit of timidness, a bit of embarrassment, there's a bit of shame because of the selfishness within ourselves. And because we don't wholeheartedly embrace what God has for us, we struggle. And I guess there's a real desire in my heart to see every one of us here be full of the love of Jesus and walk in godliness and holiness that will propel us toward God and toward His Word, wholeheartedly and unashamedly. That's my bird, and if I could just say that, that's, I guess, something that's been stirring in my heart, and I think about some of those things, and I just would to God that He'd take me another step forward. Both in our personal life and walk, as well as our lifestyle and how it portrays godliness. You want to turn with me to the book of Matthew for an opening scripture. There's a couple verses that I'd like to read here. Matthew in chapter 22. I want to read here. We're going to start, we're going to break in verse 33. And it says, "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Another way to look at what we are talking about this morning is simply loving God. Loving God. And I believe that here this morning, all of us want to love God. I have that confidence. I really do. I don't think there's anyone in here that really doesn't want to love God. The unfortunate thing is that many of us, I'm just going to say this term, many of us want to love God and serve Him on our own terms, the way we think is sort of best. And I'd like to just tell you a little story from Scripture to sort of give us an idea about the selfishness that we tend to have in our own hearts. The Bible gives a story of King Saul. In his earlier days, God had a plan to destroy all the Amalekites. In fact, the Bible says that one of the reasons that God didn't bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land earlier is because that the fullness of their wickedness had not yet come full. And so there was a span of time where the people in the land of Canaan, where their wickedness was getting worse and worse and worse, and God had appointed a day when God, with the children of Israel, He was going to bring them in and He was going to destroy them because of their wickedness. And I know it sounds pretty horrible, but God's judgment was going to come on various of those groups. And the Amalekites was one of them. He was going to destroy them because of the horrible wickedness, the horrible ungodly lives that they were living. God was going to destroy them. So when Saul became king, God asked Saul, He said, "I want you to go and fight, and I'm going to be with you." But He said, "I want you to destroy all the men, women, and children, and I want you to destroy all the cattle. I want you to destroy everything." And so they went out and they fought. And the Bible says that Saul and his men, they destroyed all the men and the women and the children, but the Bible says that they saved the king and they saved the animals. And they saved the animals so they could sacrifice to God. Now I want to just read, if you want to turn with me, I want to just read those verses. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. to give us just a little idea of how we often rationalize things in our own minds. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to start reading in verse 2, where the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." And that's what they were supposed to destroy. Now listen to what Saul and his men did. There's a very clear command given. If you drop down to verse 7, it says, "And Saul smote Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." And the Bible says that because of this sin, God rejected Saul from being king. I like to suggest that many times when the Bible gives specific commands, we try to rationalize things and we try to do it our way. We want to serve God. All of us, we want to serve God. And we see what the Bible says, we see what God wants, but we put a little twist on it, and we know in our hearts that God would really want us to be here, but we shifted a bit. I'd like to suggest that God is looking for a heart that's bent to embrace everything that he has. Now, maybe I should just ask the question this morning. How many of us believe that God's word and the way God says it is the very best? How many of us believe that? Well, we do, don't we, right? We believe that, okay? Now, I just asked a question. You don't have to answer here, but why is it so hard when the Bible says something for us to just do it like he says? Why is that? Why is that? Is it not because of our own selfishness? Okay? That's what I want to look at this morning. There's a bent inside of us. There's something inside of us that's resistant to God. And the Bible talks about being dead to sin, dead to self, and alive unto God, where we serve God wholeheartedly and unashamedly. That's what we want to look at this morning. loving God and his word. So I guess the different things we want to look at briefly, I won't go into a lot of details this morning. I'm going to keep it a bit short, brief, but I'd just like to, if I could somehow convey the heart that I'd like to somehow to get is, if God says it in his word, that has to be the very best way, and let's just embrace it and move toward it, okay? Somehow, let's just see, if that's what God wants, then that's what I want. Even if it doesn't feel right to me somehow, let's pursue that. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth in their hearts." I don't know. Did you get that? Okay. In simple terminology, these people didn't embrace truth and godliness. It didn't embrace the truth. And because it didn't embrace the truth, God allowed them to be deceived. And we don't want to be deceived. So he's asking us to embrace the truth. Embrace what's right. Now, the first thing that I'd like to look at is honesty. Honesty. And if I ask for a raise of hands this morning, how many of you lie? You say, oh, I don't lie. Right? Okay? And praise the Lord. Thank God for that, right? But I'd like to for us to consider the whole idea of honesty. What is honesty? See, if we don't love the truth, if we don't embrace what God has and how God views us and how God wants us to walk, we'll struggle. And I'd like to just maybe start on this with giving you a couple illustrations from my own life. And maybe some of you have heard this already. I'm not sure did I share it here or not. But a couple of years ago, on this whole idea of honesty, there's a turmoil or there's something within us that wants to look good, right? We do. Here a couple of years ago, I was in bed in the morning. Our employees start at 6 o'clock, and it was, I think, right around 6. And I was in bed, and I received a phone call from one of my employees. I was right around 6. He called, and I woke up and tried to sound, you know, like I've been up for a while. And he heard it. And he said, now, did I get you out of bed? Guess what I told him? I said, no, you didn't. And I talked, I got off the phone, and why in the world did I ever do that? And what was I doing? What was I doing? I was trying to look good. I was trying to look good. And in my endeavor to look good, I actually lied to him. I literally lied to him. Now, that morning, when I got to work, I walked over to him and I said, you know, you asked me if you got me out of bed. And I said, I told you I wasn't, or you didn't, but you did get me out of bed. That wasn't how it was. Okay? Okay, now do you see the fight that was going on inside of me? Okay? But all of us here, maybe I'm the oddball here, you know, and I probably am. I'm the only one here this morning that has ever faced that type of struggle, right? You know, you've never faced that. You've never faced that type of struggle, okay? But there's something God is looking for us to just learn to just be very honest and to be open with the struggle. If I'm struggling with something, surely if I'm open and honest, I can receive some help from my brothers and from God, right? Right? But there's something within us that tries to hide. There's something within us that tries to cover up. There's something within us that wants me to look good. And I'd like to just suggest that it's God's will that we embrace His will wholeheartedly and we walk in openness. And as I was considering there's something that I felt like I should just share with you all. Okay? Make me look bad. But the Bible says that elders should fast should give themselves to fasting and prayer. And I'm just going to be honest and say it's been a little bit, or it's been a little while here since I fasted. I feel I should be fasting more often. Okay? I'm just saying that. Well, no, you expect me to fast regularly. You're really, okay? Right? Okay? But I'd like to just open myself and say, you know, that's an area that I would just open myself to you, brothers. Feel free to come to me and ask me about that. Have you fasted recently? Okay? I'd like to just share that if we somehow can come to the place where we embrace this whole idea that honesty is where God wants me to walk, it'll bring freedom to us. Right? It's the road, it's a path to freedom. It's the path that God wants us to walk. But because we don't wholeheartedly embrace it and say, that has to be the best, we continue to struggle. Right? We do. We do. Embracing honesty. In Psalms chapter 51 in verse 6, it says these words, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So, if we consider God wants us to walk in humility and honesty and transparency, and when we start hiding and closing ourselves, we're walking away from God. We're walking the way that Saul did when Saul did not utterly destroy the Amalekites. And God's judgment came down and God said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to another man. Because he was not willing to embrace what God said. Here's another one. Being willing to be different from most of Christianity around us. Am I right that sometimes when we talk to people, we're just a bit ashamed because we're not like the rest of Christianity? Right? And I'd like to take that a step further in a little bit here. But let's just stay back here on the whole idea of just a concept of us as Christians. Most of Christianity, and I'm just going to say most of Christianity. Most of Christianity out there, most of the people that say I'm a Christian live their lives in a very different way than what we do and the way that we understand Scripture to teach, right? And I like to just suggest that that's something that we need to come to the place where we accept that we as believers in Jesus Christ will be different in many ways in our practical walk. And spiritually, I mean, just the whole thing is totally different than most of Christianity. I'm just going to say the word Christianity is so vast today. And, you know, and if you talk to people and say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. We have good fellowship because we're a Christian. And yet I like to suggest that most of Christianity, we're at a very different place in many, many areas. And if we can come to the place that we simply accept, receive, and embrace that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and if the Bible says it, that has to be the best, and we want to follow God without reserve and just walk after Him, and it has to be the best. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Wow. That's a mouthful. Let me just read that last one. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not just that we got saved back there when we got converted. It's a continuing salvation. God brings a continued salvation, saving us from our sins. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Here's another one. Embracing a simple lifestyle. Embracing a simple lifestyle. Now, if we just consider some of the thoughts, how we're strangers and pilgrims, and how we really aren't, you know, we're to be stewards, we don't own our possessions, and you know, the whole concept that we're here for a time where we have a, you know, we're we have a heavenly goal. This is, we're passing through this life. God has called us to be workers in his vineyard, and there's many people who are building a kingdom here on the earth, and they're going after riches, they're going after self-gratification, they're going after all things that, a lot of things that please themselves, right? Okay, now let me just ask a question. Am I right that God wants us to embrace a lifestyle in a way that reflects that we're strangers and pilgrims here on the earth? Now, how to do all that, you know, there's a lot, there can be a lot of discussions about that, right? And I'm not going to go in there this morning. But let me tell you something. If we grasp a hold of that thought and we say, well, God, how can we best serve you in these areas? And God, somehow, your word, what you say, that has to be the very best. And so, God, you show me how that is. Okay? Isn't that what God would like us to do? But many of us are over here to where we say, I'm going after just, you know, whatever is pleasing. Just, if I have the money, I'll do it. You know, it's that type of mentality. Do you follow? Okay, there's a difference. God wants to embrace real Christianity unashamedly. See, if we're going to have another generation that rises up in our midst, that rises up and is faithful to God, we're going to need to embrace God and his word with our whole heart and seek him and follow him rather than being over here where it's all for our self-gratification. Embracing, you know, just owning. You know, maybe the word owning is, I don't know if that's the right word, but there's something about, I'm sort of amazed sometimes, you know, we have a whole bunch of sons, right? And so if one of our sons buys a car, guess what happens? He all of a sudden is concerned that this car lasts as long as possible. And who, he keeps the salt of it off of it. He keeps it washed. He actually makes it smell good. He keeps it cleaned and treats it, he keeps up all the maintenance. Why? Why does he do that? because he wants to make that car last as long as possible. And so he's doing all the things that he knows is best for it. Right? Okay. And somehow, when it comes to true Christianity, I'm going to say that much of Christianity wants to be a Christian, and yet they won't do everything to that car that they really need to make it last a lifetime. They'll run it through the briars, and they'll run it through the, you know, they'll run the engine oil down, and they'll do all kinds of stuff, right? Okay? Why? If we're really concerned about raising a godly seed and going on for generations to come and having our families grow up, brothers and sisters, we're going to need to unashamedly embrace God in everything that he says and follow him. Not be ashamed. You know, why is it that people go out on mats in front of all the public and pray to God, and many of us, if we go into a restaurant, I mean, I've seen many, I'll just say this. Years ago, I worked at a company. And in a company I worked, one time my supervisor took me along out to when some salesmen came in. He took me along out to a restaurant to have lunch together. And, you know, and this was, my supervisor was a, quote, God-fearing man. He went to church, the local Mennonite church, and before we went, he quietly told me this. He said, if we go out and they pay, then we don't ask to pray. If we pay, then we ask if we could have prayer before we eat. And I was shocked. Do you follow what I mean? Okay. Needless to say, I went, and everyone else started eating. I quietly prayed, and then I went. Everyone else was eating already. Okay, do you follow? There's something. There's many that are ashamed to simply follow God. They don't embrace. They don't take possession of this word and look at the word of God and just embrace it unashamedly to say, this is the best. God's ways are very best, and I will follow God. Whatever it costs, if it costs me my head, if it costs me my reputation, whatever, you know, here it's not our head, but it's a reputation, right? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? You know how it was for me? I was embarrassed that I was in bed when the others were working. I mean, what a puny little thing. Here's another one. Just embracing simple, appropriate dress styles. And I'm talking about men and women. Embracing simple, appropriate dress styles. Right? And I wonder why I mention that. am I right that sometimes us as young and older men, shall I include myself with that? Some of us as young and older men, we want to be like everyone else in the community. All the others that say I'm a Christian, we don't have as much problem to be different than, okay, but you know, we don't fit into the community. this is what I'm trying to, communicate. God, and if we're very, very honest, God in His Word, and we're not going to go into any details here this morning, but God has in His Word some very simplistic direction for us to follow in, for both men and women. And I'm going to suggest that there's too many of us that don't just wholeheartedly embrace that that is the very best, and how can I become more in tune with God, what God teaches. Rather than that, we're over here where we say, what does this really matter? You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, rather than having the heart, how can I be more like what God really wants? We have this idea that, well, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, and I don't have to do this. You know, are you following the mentality? You know, what I'm trying to communicate is that there's a total difference of heart and attitude. The attitude, the one says, God, how can I become more Christ-like in my spiritual life, in my practical walk? How can I best glorify you? How can I best, live my life in my outward attire that pleases you? How can I do that? And the other says, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. And we have this doesn't matter idea rather than how can I become? Okay? Okay, now the young boys say, how can I make the car nicer? Right? Right? How can I make it last longer? Right? That's good. Yeah, that's okay. But let's bring this over here. How can I make my Christianity real Christianity that is full of the love of God, and God can just pour out His blessing and we can just be faithful in years to come, right? 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 How can I embrace true, real Christianity unashamedly? What does it matter what people say? I'm here to serve God. How can I be more Christ-like? And that goes in things like ladies' coverings and men's haircuts and all kinds of things. Here's another one. Embracing submission to those whom God has put over us. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a day when everyone is extremely independent. Extremely. Now let me give you another picture here. Over in Zanzibar, Tanzania, in the Muslim culture there, the culture is so strong that a person literally feels like I can't make any decision in my religious beliefs. I can't make any decisions if it goes contrary to what my father says or the imam or any type of authority. There's a very strong authoritarian culture there. And I'm going to say that it's overbearing. There's a wrong view of women. You know, it's abused, okay? You know, I'd like to put that out. But that is there's a respect, there's a high respect for authority that we don't see here in the States very rarely. I walk over there and they see I'm different, but the fact that I have gray hair, they look at me with, you know, like they do, like I would Brother Joe, right? Because I have gray hair, it's like, you follow? Okay. Let me tell you, there's something about the culture that we live in that is totally anti-authority, disrespect to the core. And I'm going to say that those things affect us in our homes. It affects the attitude from the children to the parents. It affects the attitude from the wives to the husbands. It affects the husband's respect on the workplace. It affects the attitude toward the local authorities. It's so interwoven. And let me just put this way. There is something about God-ordained authority that needs respect, right? And I'm just placing some of these things out here because I know that these things, I'm going to say, affect our homes and our families and the church more than what many of us realize. And I'm lifting this up. If I could just say this way, how can we just simply look at some of these things and just say, you know, God's word teaches these things, and I want to be more like that. How can I just embrace all that God has for me? We go into Scripture and say, this is what Scripture teaches. And, oh, by the way, am I allowed to just share this? Just this morning, I was talking with our sons, okay? And this is just an example, right? Okay. You know, am I allowed to say it? Right? Okay. And I think this affects, like, some here. The Bible talks about greeting one another with a holy kiss, right? Greeting means to hug, embrace, and kiss means to give each other a hug. Right? Okay. Yeah, am I right? Do you follow? That's an example. Yeah, am I right? There's some of us, the Bible says kiss, but we, rather than kissing, we just hug. Okay, but that really, that's not a big thing, really. That's not a big thing, so you don't have to do that. Do you get the point, brothers? Okay, I just use that as an example. Brothers, I think those are the kind of things that we, if we want to be serious about serving God, let's just try to think, well, what does God want for me, and try to move in that direction, right? Right? Okay? And I think that's a good thing to, pursue, right? And we just all together, the church, move toward those things. Embracing real Christianity unashamedly means we just have a heart. There's just simply a heart that says, God, what do you want me to do? And if it's honesty, if it's in our lifestyle, and just all of the above things, there's something within us that just says, God, I want to be more like you in every area of my life. And I'm willing to look dumb. I'm willing to be a nobody. I just want to serve you. Just teach me how. How can I be more like that? Right? Right? Embracing real Christianity unashamedly. I think we'll stop with that. May the Lord help us all.